Welcome back to The Investment Conversation. I'm Tony Fisher. With inflation emerging as topic A-plus in financial markets, we thought it would be a good idea to ask Joseph Graham, Lord Abbett Managing Director and Investment Strategist, to talk about some of his recent insights on inflation's implications for fixed income investors. Here's my colleague, Will Andrews, to kick off the discussion.
Thanks for being with us today, Joe. You recently authored a market view, which listeners can find on the insights section of lordabbott.com, entitled Inflation Could Change Everything for Asset Allocations and Yield Curves. And as we face a potential period of higher for longer inflation, investors certainly have a lot to think about. One of them is the current shape of the U.S. Treasury curve and its implications. Maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah, thanks, Will, and thanks for having me. When we're talking about the Treasury curve, we need to first talk about inflation and whether inflation is indeed a long-term phenomenon. That's the real question. We here think that it is, and that there are big forces that are powerful forces that are lasting over the next at least few years. One of those is the reversal of globalization. Since the early 1900s to now, global trade as a percentage of GDP has continued to increase until about 2008. And around that period, you had governments start to get a little more nationalistic, but also COVID just shocked companies and what they need to do with their supply chains. They had these very cheap supply chains that were also quite delicate. And so now they're building more robust supply chains and nearshoring, and those things are expensive. So that's a big factor for longer-term higher inflation. The other is ESG concerns. So ESG, very well motivated, but if you make things difficult to get out of the ground, those things are going to become more expensive and probably for a longer time. So that's a big problem if you're battling inflation. The others are demographics, I think, is another really important one. And that is just the fact that all these aging workforces are starting to retire in developed countries. We saw an acceleration of that during the pandemic, and that caused a lot of problems, and it caused wage growth to go higher. It's likely that as the baby boomers continue to retire, we still face those problems in the future. So all that kind of wraps up to, we think this is a longer term phenomenon, and treasury curves, which was the root of your question, will have to reflect that. Right now, the Treasury curve is very steep, going up to 2 or 3 years, and then very flat after about 3 years. What that says is that inflation probably won't be a problem. And you can even look through to like the swaps market, like the five-year forward swap, and see that the market does indeed expect inflation not to be a problem after a few years. That's something we think is a risky proposition. We think there is a good chance that inflation continues to be a problem going forward, and that treasury curves will have to price that in through a steeper curve.
One of the things that we've talked about frequently in terms of, the shape of the curve and everything else is the concept of term premium. So maybe just a brief refresher on what that means and the factors that are currently driving it right now and keeping the curve flat beyond the short dated maturities.
Right. That's exactly what's keeping the curve flat. One way to look at it is the negative term premium is the result of that flatness or is causing that flatness. But you're not getting paid essentially an additional yield to go out on the curve. So another way of thinking about that is if you just link short-term rates together, that's called the risk-neutral curve. The yield curve is usually steeper than that. And the difference between the yield curve and the risk neutral curve is the term premium. That's usually a positive number. You want to get paid to take a risk. But for the last few years, it's been negative. And there's been a bunch of factors contributing to that. One is just central bank buying. Central banks don't care what they pay. In fact, they want to bring rates down. They want to bring curves flatter because it makes for easier financial conditions. And they have trillions of dollars of buying power. So they're bringing that curve flatter. The other is LDI. It's pensions who are near fully funded. And then again, this is trillions of dollars, near fully funded because asset prices have done pretty well over the last decade or more. And so they say, fine, we're done. Let's match up assets and liabilities. Let's buy some bonds to match up those liabilities. And we don't really care what we pay. So that's a price insensitive buyer. The final one is foreign buyers. and they are faced with their own negative rates in their own countries. So they go out and buy treasuries, again, not caring too much what they pay. So all that is bringing term premiums negative. Let me take two more points. One is all those factors are reversing. Those are all technical factors that we think are all have the potential to reverse in the next few years. Finally, there's a fundamental factor that is keeping term premiums negative, and that's the idea that bonds have diversified stocks, and that's happened for a long time. And what that means is I'm willing to pay more for my bonds and accept lower yields as long as it diversifies stocks, which is usually the other, you know, big risk in a portfolio.
So that's basically that notion of the correlation of equities and fixed income actually lies at the heart of the market view we mentioned earlier, which listeners can obtain by contacting the Lord Abbott representative. So how have stocks and bonds tracked one another over time, and what might be different now?
Right. So the last 20 years have been just a golden period for the 60-40 portfolio, for risk parity, which usually involves mixing bond risk with stock risk. And that's because stocks and bonds have negatively correlated, as you say. That actually, if you zoom out for a longer period and zoom out to say 100 years, you'll see that it's actually just as common for stocks and bonds to be positively correlated as negatively correlated. These last 20 years have just been a period where they've been negatively correlated. So a lot of ink has been spilled over why. And I think most people do come to terms with that. It has to do with inflation. When the Fed is fighting inflation, you tend to get positive correlations between stocks and bonds. And that's because to the extent they're successful, they both do well. To the extent they're unsuccessful, they both do poorly. When the Fed's fighting deflation, the other side of the coin that we've been more dealing with, you know, over the last 20 years, that bonds hit a zero bound. And so they don't do much, but stocks, as we've seen, do really, really well in that sort of stimulative environment. And so they decorrelate, they uncorrelate. But now we seem to be in this different period of battling inflation. We've seen periods like this in the 70s and post-World War II, and they lasted for some time, you know, usually a decade or more, where stocks and bonds positively correlate.
So when stocks and bonds basically begin pulling in the same direction, this leads to what you called a breakdown in diversification in the recent market view. Now, why is that so important for investors to understand? What are the implications of that?
Yeah, it's important because just at the same time that you're having to reprice bonds to account for this inflation risk, so a steeper curve, higher yields further out the curve, at that exact same time, now bonds are less valuable in your portfolio. So they're less valuable themselves because of inflation risk, but then they're less valuable as a diversifier. And so that argues for higher, probably more normal and possibly above normal term premiums. Term premiums, you know, over the last few years have been negative. A normal term premium is something like 1.5%. So if you think about the risk neutral rate, or what they call the terminal rate, could be sort of substituted there, that's probably somewhere between 2.5% and 3%. You start to add on a term premium of 1.5%, perhaps, you know, now you're in the 4s or 5s for the 10-year. And so that, you know, as much pain as fixed income investors have taken in treasuries, you know, out that far, it's possible there's more pain to come.
Wow. Given that possible outcome there, what are some of the potential investment approaches that you know, people might want to think about in this environment?
The biggest thing is to stay shorter on the curve. That could be, you know, a 3-year duration relative to an aggregate index or a core fixed income allocation that has a more typical or index level allocation of 5 to 6 years of duration. So staying a little bit shorter. So that's one, or anywhere really around that 2 to 3 year point of the curve is where you see you're getting paid a lot in terms of yield, and you don't get paid much more to step out beyond that. So that's the biggest thing is staying shorter, making sure that portfolio turns over enough to take advantage of higher rates as they come in. The second thing, and probably less commonly prescribed for protecting, is credit. So credit tends to do well in inflationary environments. We don't have a ton of data points on this, but we know that credit did well in the late 70s, for example, during that period of inflation. And it also stands to reason, just intuitively, you would think that credit does well because you have a nominal debt and you're growing your way out of that debt in an inflationary environment. So, you know, absent, you know, a ton of defaults or systemic type defaults, we do think credit can do very well in inflationary periods.
Wow, this has been great information, Joe. I'm sure our listeners probably want to learn more. And then once again, they can visit lordabbott.com to find out more from our market views and from our other investment insights. Joe, let's promise to stay up to date on this topic as things evolve, because obviously this is a fluid, dynamic environment.
Sure. Thanks, Will.
We certainly want to keep checking in to find out, you know, what investors should be thinking about in the months to come.
Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite streaming app of choice. Thank you for listening. Treasuries are debt securities issued by the U.S. government and secured by its full faith and credit. Income from Treasury securities is exempt from state and local taxes. Although U.S. government securities are guaranteed as to payments of interest and principal, their market prices are not guaranteed and will fluctuate in response to market movements. The 60-40 portfolio has long been held as a model for asset allocation for investors with moderate risk tolerance. A 60% allocation to equities, intended to provide the potential for capital appreciation, is complemented by a 40% allocation to fixed income to potentially offer income and risk mitigation. A basis point is 1/100th of a percentage point. Correlation is a statistic that measures the degree to which two securities move in relation to each other. A perfect positive correlation means the correlation coefficient is exactly one. This implies that as one security moves, either up or down, the other security moves in lockstep, in the same direction. A perfect negative correlation means the two assets move in opposite directions, while a zero correlation implies no relationship at all. Duration is the change in the value of a fixed income security that will result from a 1% change in market interest rates. Generally, the larger a portfolio's duration, the greater the interest rate risk or reward for underlying bond prices. Generally, the larger a portfolio's duration, the greater the interest rate risk or reward for underlying bond prices. The Federal Reserve System, or Fed, is the central bank of the United States and is governed by the Federal Reserve Board. The federal funds, or Fed funds, rate is the target interest rate set by the Fed at which commercial banks borrow and lend their excess reserves to each other overnight. Inflation is an increase in the purchasing power of money, reflected in a general increase in the prices of goods and services in an economy. 2-year inflation swaps reflect market expectations of inflation in 2 years' time. 5-year forward inflation swaps are a common measure used by central banks and dealers to gauge the market's future inflation expectations. Liability-driven investing is a strategy aimed at gaining enough assets to cover all current and future liabilities. This type of investing is common when dealing with defined benefit pension plans. Term premium is a gauge of the level of risk inherent in holding a long-term bond versus a series of shorter-term securities. It represents the estimated risk embedded in a long maturity bond that is determined by the difference between the actual yield and the risk-neutral yield, represented by a rolling series of shorter-term securities extended to the same maturity at current rate expectations. Yield is the income returned on an investment, such as the interest received from holding a security. The yield is usually expressed as an annual percentage rate based on the investment's cost, current market value, or face value. Yield curve is a line that plots the interest rates at a set point in time of bonds having equal credit quality but different maturity rates. One such comparison involves a 2-year and 10-year U.S. Treasury debt. This yield curve is used as a benchmark for other debt in the market, such as mortgage rates or bank lending rates. The curve is also used to predict changes in economic output and growth.
Unless otherwise noted,
All discussions are based on U.S. markets and U.S. monetary and fiscal policies. The credit quality of the securities in a portfolio is assigned by a nationally recognized statistical rating organization, or NSRO, such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, or Fitch, as an indication of an issuer's creditworthiness. Ratings range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, which is the lowest. Bonds rated BBB or above are considered investment grade. Credit ratings BB and below are lower rated securities, or junk bonds. High yielding, non-investment grade bonds, or junk bonds, involve higher risks than investment grade bonds. Adverse conditions may affect the issuer's ability to pay interest and principal on these securities. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. The value of investments in fixed income securities will change as interest rates fluctuate and in response to market movements. Generally, when interest rates rise, the price of debt securities fall, and when interest rates fall, prices generally rise. The municipal market can be affected by adverse tax, legislative, or political changes, and by the financial condition of the issuers of municipal securities. Investments in non-U.S. or emerging market securities, which may be adversely affected by economic, political, or regulatory factors and subject to currency volatility and greater liquidity risk. The value of investments in equity securities will fluctuate in response to general economic conditions and changes in prospects of particular companies and/or sectors in the economy. No investing strategy can overcome all market volatility or guarantee future results. Market forecasts and projections are based on current market conditions and subject to change without notice. Projections should not be considered a guarantee. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker as of the date of the broadcast and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market conditions or other conditions, and Lord Abbott disclaims any responsibility to update such views. This material is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice. It is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. The information provided is not directed at any investor or category of investors and is provided solely as general information about Lord Abbott's products and services and to otherwise provide general investment education. None of the information provided should be regarded as a suggestion to engage in or refrain from any investment-related course of action, as neither Lord Abbott nor its affiliates are undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or give advice in a fiduciary capacity. If you are an individual retirement investor, contact your financial advisor or other fiduciary about whether any given instrument, idea, strategy, product, or service may be appropriate for your circumstances. This broadcast is copyright 2022 of Lord Abbott & Co. LLC. All rights reserved. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or in any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor, LLC.
Important information for non-U.S. investors. Note to Switzerland investors. This is an advertising communication. The state of origin of the fund is Luxembourg. In Switzerland, this document may only be provided to qualified investors within the meaning of Art. 10, Para, 3, and 3 Ter, CISA. In Switzerland, the representative is A: Fund Services AG, Lutenbrockstrasse 50, CH 8050, Zurich, whilst the paying agent is Bank Voltenbell Limited, Gotthardstrasse 43, CH 8002, Zurich. The main basis of documents of the fund, as well as the annual and, if applicable, semi-annual report may be obtained free of charge from the representative. Past performance is no indication of current or future performance. The performance data do not take account of the commissions and costs incurred on the issue and redemption of units.
Note to European investors. This communication is issued in the United Kingdom and distributed throughout Europe by Lord Abbott UK Limited, a private limited company registered in England and Wales under company number 10804287 with its registered office at Talis House, 2 Talis Street, Temple, London, United Kingdom, EC4Y0AB. Lord Abbott UK Limited, FRN 783356, is an appointed representative of Kroll Securities Limited, FRN 466. 588, which is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.